Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fierceness of the Mother Global Conference. In this space, we will gather for powerful conversations with both women and men to reveal and restore the ancient feminine ways of knowing. This event is designed to open up space for all of us to reinstate the principle of the continuance of life as our top priority. Here, you are invited to tune into the guidance from the feminine force of creation and learn how this force can be used to revolutionize and revitalize our world. I am your host, Jocelyn Mercado, and today I am thrilled to be speaking with Susan Jenkins. Welcome, Susan.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this. This topic is really dear to my heart on so many levels.
I'm so excited about this too. Yeah, thank you so much for being part of this.
So yes.
Let me introduce you to everyone, Susan. Susan Jenkins is a shaman priestess, healer, and medicine dreamer who has been on her shamanic path for over 36 years now. She teaches and uses shamanic spirit and earth-centered practices and ceremony to help people heal, empower themselves, embody their shining essence and soul vision. A heart-centered, multidimensional lightworker, Susan journeys into the spirit realm for messages, inspiration, and guidance from the angelic beings, spirit and animal guides, nature, elementals, and beneficial spirit allies. She often collaborates with luminous beings to clear, heal, uplift, and balance energies. Clients report profound healing and positive shift from working with her. Susan works with people in her private and group programs, retreats, day-long intensives, and home and land clearings. And you can find more about her at shamanichealingwork.com. And so, Susan, your topic for today is uncloaking and reclaiming your magic, remembering your true wild nature. So can you begin by telling us, what do you mean by uncloaking and reclaiming your magic?
Ah, yes. Well, I believe, or I, no, it's not even that I believe, I know that our magic is cloaked over and literally educated out of us, I believe, from a very early age. And this has to do with the logical kind of the logical way that we are educated and to fit into a certain way of being that excludes the first conversation, the first question being to us even as children is, what is your intuition? What is your magical knowing here? And having everybody listen really closely to that. That is what I believe we should be listening to. And so, different projections come on us and we're told to, at a certain point, grow up, and our magical ways are dampened. And we're, it's kind of like, oh, well, those are nice little fantasies and let's just grow up now and move on. And what do you want to do with your life and what your career will be? And then we're just like in this box. So that's just a bit of a beginning of what I mean by that. And I really think we're also, one other thing is, I think we're groomed to conform, which is that it's almost like an imprisonment of the multidimensional beings of light that we are, right? And it's like every time we conform, then we are praised, then we are, given love, then we are, given all the different things that make us feel good and accepted. And especially as women, I think, well, I guess men and women, I'm just going to talk about men and women. It's all of us. We're just constantly being told how it is that we're supposed to be in the world. And then we will be affirmed for that and given praise and then we are just in this place of, the codependent loops that happen from a very early age. I feel like we're just groomed in this codependent trance that has us completely covered up.
Yes, yes, yes. I so deeply agree with what you're sharing here. This is very real. I think we all feel this on a very deep level, even like a visceral level in our bodies. And we see this so clearly in our children. You know, like I have two young girls, and I see this in the educational system and just in the world in general. So yeah, so important to be talking about this. So what does this have to do then with the power of the feminine to revolutionize our world?
Well, for me, the power of the feminine, this return of the feminine energetics and way of being it's a way for all of us to tap back into and ground back into our instinctual feminine knowing, which is our dreaming from the earth, which is, really grounding into the creatures that we are of the earth. And so, for us all to return to that, you know, to all return to trusting in our intuition, trusting in our magic, trusting in our deepest knowing that comes from a place of totally illogical. I mean, it's not logical in the least bit. This is coming deeply from the mystery. To me, that is the revolutionary edge right now. And that is all of us are being called back into tapping into that part of ourselves and trusting ourselves and remembering ourselves. And when we do that, we're dismantling. We're dismantling the patriarchy. We're dismantling the educational system that has us in what I was talking about before, these little boxes of conformity that have us just feeling stifled, I believe. And so, and I think that bringing, that tapping into this or trusting in this feminine knowing in us, this knowing from the earth, this knowing from an illogical place, takes a lot of courage, because people aren't going to like that, right? And I think that it really requires us to, if we're going to talk about the word fiercely, we have to fiercely defy the status quo, to fiercely defy fitting into those boxes. And it does take a lot of courage to do that. We're going to lose friends. We're going to have people feel threatened by us being willing to step out of the box. Us being threatened and people being threatened by us speaking our truth and doing what maybe they wish they were doing, but they don't have the courage to do. So we become, it can feel a little isolating in a sense, although if we find all of each other, like you and me and everyone here, it's so exciting. And it's just like really, really exciting. And so I wanted to mention that for myself, Jocelyn, over this past year, I have really been, I have been so committed to dismantling these ways of being in me that have had me very actively connected in the masculine energetic of myself. I can be super motivated, list-oriented, making things happen, you know, like just really, really being able to do that really well. And what I realized that a lot of that is to the detriment of me, or I'm even avoiding in that. I mean, it can be like an addiction, even if we're doing our spirit work, which I am, it still can be this way of avoiding or I call it bracketing off certain parts of ourselves. That is that deep feeling place of, wow, I have no idea what this is about. This deep feeling is arising up in me and I'm going to feel it anyway. And so I have been really looking at that. What are the fears in me around bringing this feminine energetic into our practical lives, into my practical life of building my healing practice. You know, there's all the steps that go along when we're doing our emails and in our interview series and all of this. And then there is my biggest edge here has been, if I really allow myself to just totally be and be quiet and take all the time I need in the middle of the day, through the day, through my life, to just sit with nature and just be, that the wheels won't fall off the bus. You know? As a matter of fact, what I'm discovering more and more as I've really been committed to this year is that everything is happening more easily. Yay. It was like, if I do this, you know, I'm going to forget about that thing I need to to do. And I discovered is I'm just moving in nature, transmissions that are coming onto our planet that are so very powerful right now, requires all of us to be quiet and have the space and not rush to fill it with action, which makes us feel like it's like this false sense, this false illusion of power, and that we're actually doing something, when actually I feel like this feminine, this call to the feminine energetic, this call to being quiet and settling and being receptive is what's being required, or what is really serving this transformation that's happening right now.
Yes, this is so powerful. Thank you for sharing your personal experience with it too, you know, and it is an addiction, you know, it can be an addiction, right? That we can get caught up in taking action, making things happen, you know, being on top of every single thing on the list. And it's really hard to let go of that. And we've all learned to operate in that way in this, you know, in our westernized culture for sure. And also I want to just say that, you know, this is, again, and we've said this many times throughout the conference, but this is not just about women.
No, not at all.
Very much not just about women. Like, this is about all of us returning to that intuition, receiving the vision, time and nature, you know, all of these pieces.
Yeah. And I want to mention one other thing. We're talking about that, you know, like the cultural training and grooming, learning to also not go straight to our minds to try and figure everything out. I mean, that's also an addiction too. And I know that's not new to many of the people listening here, but it's always good to remind ourselves, because we can feel like we're really active in that when we're actually sometimes, we're going to that place where our minds aren't our greatest allies in that. Often we're our primal brains being activated. And it's like, well, if I get really busy in my mind, I'll figure it all out, which brings us way out of embodying ourselves, connected to the earth and sending our roots down and being open. I just wanted to mention the mind and the brain in all of this.
Yes. Well, I know your work that you do with people is very deeply tied to all of this, you know, that you're speaking about here and helping people return to their true wild nature. So can you share with us maybe a few tools or practices that you use in your shamanic work with people to help them and guide them in this way?
Yeah, well, one of them, to just connect up with what I just said, is literally a practice where we can take our busy minds. I sometimes think of it as like taking our mind. It's like a wild dog running, a puppy that's running wild, or a two-year-old, you know, it's like they run and run and run. And you finally lay them down and swaddle them, and they're just like, oh, thank you. That's what our minds are like. So a tool that, a practice that I love sharing with people and do myself, it's like I'm taking this busy mind that's fearful, you know, that can be in that sort of anxious place, and literally like rest it on the earth, and just, you know, it's like taking it and in swaddling clothes and just being like, brain, mind, just go take a rest on the earth. All is well. You're safe there. And then sit and tap into connecting with the earth and opening. That's a really powerful practice, because a lot of people are afraid to do that. But when we're kind, not like, go away, because a lot of times in this mindset work, people are, you know, it's like we're criticizing ourselves for why are we doing that again? Why are we repeating that thought pattern again? This is a gentle way. My way is very gentle. And I believe that the way of the earth and spirit and nature is can be very gentle. And so if we're gently and lovingly being like, you know what, you're kind of active here. Why don't you just go take a nap, take a rest on the earth, is just a beautiful, gentle way to quiet our minds. And then I love to, in my work, you know, really helping people reconnect with their wild nature, meaning that we are all creatures of this earth. We are all creatures of nature. And we have been, you know, enculturated out, educated out of even remembering that this is true. It's like we're walking around looking, oh, as I say to people, you feel connected to nature. Yeah, I love looking out and I'm like, I mean, do you really feel connected with nature? And so I love to be really helping people drop in and really and allow themselves to be totally embodied and connected into this body that is nature as a temple, you know, and really allowing ourselves. And I love also reminding people that these bodies that we're in are very precious temples, right? And that we have chosen in this lifetime to be embodied is an incredible gift. And we're also expanded multidimensional beings. And so when we're tapping into our wild nature, we're all of us. We're connected to the heavens, the universe, the Milky Way, the sun, the moon, the stars, and we're deeply rooted into the earth. And so it's a very balanced practice of, and the more deeply we're grounded, putting our roots down, doing practices of calling in the energies of the directions, learning how to do that, you know, calling on nature as portals to work with us as reciprocal allies and healing allies, has people really starting to, it's a remembering of our wild nature. It's not even teaching us about our wild natures, it's remembering. And I love to use this term, keeps coming to me, demystifying shamanism. I mean, there are all different kinds of shamanism, and we all have different ways that we practice shamanic practices and the way we are in our shamanic work, right? And for me, I like to call it just demystifying shamanism, because all of us have roots way back. If we track back and back and back to our ancestors, all of our ancestors lived close to the earth way back when, connected to the heavens, connected to the rhythms, you know, connected to the earth and that water that had to be hauled and the wood that was our lives, you know, their lives, going out and getting wood to start a fire was our lives. And so our ancestors' lives. But also ours. Time is an illusion, right? and so the other thing that I love in the shamanic work of journeying into the other realms and having that become more of an everyday thing. People are like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. And it's like, well, let's just see. And I found that everybody can on some level or another. And I know that you've probably discovered this too. People will come. And they have been trying to think through and talk through various problems and wounding, especially from their childhood, or it can even be from other lifetimes, but that's a whole other subject. And there's been a way that it can reactivate the trauma, you know, reactivate the primal brain and all of that. What I love about shamanism and going into the journeying in with our spirit animals and guides is there is a certain detachment and clarity that we can people come. You know, people have come after, they're like, I've done that. I've been doing that for 7 years in this one journey. All of a sudden I feel like that wounding was healed. Right. And so, so there's a certain detachment where you can go in and heal all kinds of wounds and connect up with your guides and spirit animals in the flash of an eye. And that's really powerful.
Yes. Yeah, this is so powerful. I'm glad I wanted to ask you about shamanic journeying as a practice for this, because that I haven't thought of it in that way, but it's so true. It's that detachment really helps us to see things from a whole different perspective. And when we go into that journey with no expectations, like an intention, right? Mm-hmm. But not expecting anything, just so open, we get the most powerful and unexpected answers, you know, to our questions. So
exactly. Mm-hmm.
I feel that practice is so important for anyone who feels called to it, you know, shamanic journeying as a practice.
And it's for everybody, you know, everyone can learn that. I mean, it doesn't mean that I think a lot of people are like, well, if I start learning about shamanism, you know, I need to go study and be in the jungle and all of that. And that is a path that one can be on for sure. And then there is that, as I was saying, demystifying it. We can all, anyone can be taught with some practice how to go in there and connect up with all of these beautiful guides and allies and spirit animals who are just waiting for us to invite them or, you know, and pray for them to come and guide us. They're just like, we're here, but we won't interfere without you. You know, we're not necessarily going to come if you're not like ready or asking. I mean, there's an integrity there, even with the spirits, you know, there's a beautiful integrity that's happening. So as warriors, it's like, let's ask, even though we have no idea what we're asking for, pray to the mystery. I'm open to something new and mysterious and magical, and then just see what happens, right?
Yeah, very much so. Well, so you are a fierce mother. So as a mother yourself, how has the experience of parenting and being a mother influenced you and your personally on this journey, and also informed your work?
Yeah. Well, number one, being a parent is the most humbling thing I've ever gone through in my life. You know, all these ideas of what we would do and what we wouldn't do and what we would say and we wouldn't say. And then all of a sudden we're in the midst of it, tired from sleeping, not sleeping, I mean, all night. And then we're just like, oh my goodness. I had to go back and apologize to some of my friends who were parents and be like, I'm so sorry. I was so arrogant and thought somehow I knew what this would be like. I feel like parenting, and I feel like it even in my practice. I mean, I feel like when I'm with my clients, there's a way of mothering and parenting that's happening, and teaching our clients how to also reparent themselves. I mean, we can completely heal ourselves by learning that. So I feel like I can bring in my experience, direct experience of parenting two children, you know, they're in their 30s now, into my work with helping other people reparent, you know, that humility and also the kindness and the gentleness. And one of the things which brings us back around to our initial conversation here about the cloaking, the dampening of our spirit, happens so early. You know, I'm just this fierce mother, and I can just remember, gosh, you even have a baby in your arms, and people just make all these assumptions, and they'll just say these things as though they're true about your child. And I'm just like, what? You know, it's like this cult, these cultural things that come out of people's mouths, and you're just, and I was a fierce mother in that. I would be like, is that true? No, I mean, I would like protect them in a way, not like go away, but I would be protective, and I would be a stand for them. Like, for example, the term terrible twos, you know, just like, that brings up the fierceness of the mother in me. It's like we're projecting this terrible twos. This is like saying this magic and this wildness here that we're talking about is not okay. You know, they won't let us stop them or whatever that is. And I would absolutely never allow that term, or if it was used around me, I was on it. I was just like the fierce wild lion, just like, what are you talking about? Because even if my experience hadn't been that the twos were like some of the most magical, peaceful, amazing times with my children, I would still have that, you know, I would still have that, because I have all these, I watch these, you know, you watch them in the supermarket and you see people like, oh, well, you know, making all these assumptions. And I'm just like, sometimes I'll go in and I'll even intervene kind of as a surrogate auntie or something to a stranger, and just in a kind way, just being like, wow, what do you mean by that? I mean, I'm observing some beautiful magic here, whatever it is, right? So I'm fierce about that. I've been fierce with my children, a stand for them, and also teenagers. Teenagers get like boxed in. I mean, this is the transitional time where our power animals are shifting, and that's a whole other subject. There's this space in between. Sometimes the power animal, I know you know this too, are with us when we're young, and then we're shifting maybe into a different power animal. And there's this space in between, which is very, very crucial in the transition between childhood and adulthood. And it's very vulnerable. And, you know, a lot of things happen in there. And if people are making these assumptions about the way, the risky behavior, which is a way to be in that kind of adventuresome, you know, I mean, if we're an indigenous culture, we're going to be sent out to do adventurous, risky things as a way of growing and empowering ourselves and stepping into our maturity as adults, right? As adult men and women. And so the teenage, I also found and find the teenage wildness and magic and willingness to, to really step out of the norm is being amazing. And it's up to us, I parent, how to solve anything that came, even though I was uncomfortable with it. And we would end up with, you know, other people's kids here who they're like, I don't dare go home with this. And I would just sit there because their parents wanted them to be a certain way. And there were certain behaviors that are happening that are risky or whatever that is. And they would come here because they felt safe and honored in that. And so how does that relate to us as adults? Same thing. I feel like we, especially as we're, like I often call myself a spiritual midwife, and I feel like we all are in this new birthing of ourselves into our magic, into tapping into, that the deep feminine wisdom, the uncloaking our magic and all of that is like a birthing experience. And it can be just as difficult as a birthing experience, right? These transitions, you know, we're in there going, I have no idea what's happening here. I can't even think. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good thing, actually. But we don't have people around us reminding us that this is powerful. You know, this letting go and what we're doing and birthing ourselves into a whole new way of being more integrated and some people don't like the word balanced, but integrated and balanced in the energetics of the masculine and feminine and our wild natures and all of that is a really powerful process of coming and becoming who we are, embodying ourselves fully, right? Yeah. And it can be tricky. It's good to have our guides and mentors reminding us, it's all good. That's actually excellent that you feel really uncomfortable right now. Right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Could you speak a little bit more about that? I think that's so important, you know, that this state of being uncomfortable, because I think a lot of us are there right now, you know, and probably have been a lot in the recent past couple of years, right? Yeah. So, how do these kind of initiatory processes work, and how can we lean into that without being afraid of it?
Yeah, that's interesting you would ask, because yesterday I was speaking with a man in Egypt on one of my visioning calls, and he was in that place, and I was saying, he's like starting to crack open to some of the feeling, the deep, deep feelings that he has been repressing for his whole life due to his childhood and all of that. And he was saying, how do I feel these feelings? I'm afraid if I allow myself to really feel these feelings, I'm just going to go crazy. And I'm like, yeah, it's scary. And then he was, and I think a lot of people are, like, okay, I'm ready to do that. And why do I keep repeating these patterns? And I always say, let's be kind with ourselves. There's a deep knowing in us that we were keeping ourselves safe and the timing wasn't until now. And one of the tools I gave him and I give my clients is that allowing those feelings to come through, it's like taking the plug off of volcanoes sometimes, and the lava will flow. And we can feel really alone in that. It can be really scary, especially if we've never had anyone around us inviting us to do that. And so I was saying, we did a practice of really rooting with the earth, connecting up with the sky. And then I was sharing with him, and I share with my clients about invoking different nature, like working with nature, like calling upon the earth. We can lie upon the earth. This is a practice that I was taught many, many years ago. It's so powerful. We can, be really emotional and these feelings are coming. It's like, oh my gosh, if I let what's going to happen? I'm going to go nuts if I let this come through. I'm like, just go out on the earth and just lie down on her, invite her, just ask her if she will help transmute and transform anything that we no longer need. And you just lie there and breathe in and out of your heart, inhaling, exhaling out, worry, or exhaling out. You don't even have to know what it is, just whatever that is. It's like, I can't do this alone. And this rhythm starts happening, this breathing happening, the earth is working on transmuting and transforming. And then we're pulled up on our inhale, we pull the power of the earth and her unconditional love up into our bodies and back to our hearts. So it's a circular breathing. And we just start calming down. And all of a sudden, I've had that, and then we lie on our backs and we're just like drop into the arms of our mother, sink in. And I've had that, like, go out just like, what's happening? And then go out and do this. And 5 minutes later, I'm turning around and looking up at the sky going, now, what was that all about? It's like, so inviting. We can do it with a tree. We can do it with anything. We can invoke the sky, you know, like invoking the sky as a portal to receive and transform and transmute anything that's no longer generative or needed for this next step. And that is a beautiful way for people to really be willing to lean into their discomfort, lean into their fears. I mean, you know, it's, everyone's like, yeah, lean into your fears. And it's like, what the, why would I do that and called to do in this, you know, in this revolutionary time right now? And with the shamanic work and becoming creatures of remembering our connection with nature, nature is all around us. We could sit in front of a flower with all of this energy and emotions coming and invite the flower to help us transmute and transform. And the flower, I've done that with plants, and all of a sudden the leaves are just kind of doing this and you feel totally connected. So I feel like that's a really beautiful way for everybody and anyone, anyone who gets off this call right now. You're willing to lean into your discomfort around emotions and anything else coming up. Just go out there and take a chance. Just sit out there and be like, okay, dragonfly. You know, and what will happen is they start coming. All of a sudden, you know, a dragonfly will come through and just be there on your arm, or a butterfly will come, or a hummingbird will suddenly arrive. And I believe that that is really, really a beautiful doorway to us having guidance and help and a way to continue to lean in and birth ourselves. That's kind of a long answer. I hope that was helpful.
Very helpful. Yeah, thank you for sharing these additional practices. This is so beautiful, what you shared. I also love to lay on the earth, especially when I'm feeling very either keyed up, you know, or I've been on the computer too long. Very yes. Helpful for that. Or like frustrated or can't figure something out. And just shifting our perspective, I think, from, you know, we're normally looking at things this, you know, horizontally across, just to shift your perspective and fully tune into the tops of the trees and the sky and the birds. And just that in and of itself is kind of miraculous, a miraculous shift, I always feel. And then that contact with the earth is just so healing. And
yeah, yeah. And it is. And there was one other thing I wanted to say in terms of leaning into our discomfort. I mean, this is a dismantling process we're going through right now. I mean, I wanted to mention the dismantling of the patriarchy. And so that's uncomfortable, right? And so I feel like, you know, why wouldn't a dismantling, we really are dismantling our whole identity. So it's scary. So I just wanted to say that in naming, yes, it is uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with us if we're feeling uncomfortable. I just wanted to, you know, give us all permission to not be like, what's wrong with you? You should be able to handle this. No, being with, yeah, this is a collective dismantling, which is powerful and not necessarily easeful, but totally worth it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I know that you have a new program coming out soon that's called The Divine Union Within. So can you share that with us, share more about it, and how does it relate to what we're talking about here?
Yeah, yeah. It's this came to me in a meditation this winter when I was just sitting there coming out of my dreams and in a meditation. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, I've been on this journey, like really opening up to more and more embodying and being fully embodied in all parts of myself, which also has required me to go deep into those feelings and also being in the softness of my heart and the power of vulnerability. and also looking at any of the ways that I have avoided actually feeling the intimacy of life, being totally present and willing to be fully embodied, which requires us to get to know ourselves very, very deeply. And so this all came as an inner warrior journey of self-empowerment and really, really becoming our own beloved. Whether you're in a relationship, whether you're wanting to be in a relationship, whether you're going to live alone for the rest of your life or whatever that is, I feel like we're all being called to come back in, circle back in more and more. And this term is thrown around a lot, and I also think it's really important, you know, becoming autonomous and sovereign unto ourselves. And so this this program that I'm doing is going to help people really, really get to know. There's practices and journeys that I take people on with the inner spiritual family, and we all get to, like men get to journey in and meet up with their inner warrioress, and we women to meet up with our inner warrior. There literally is, you know, are those parts of us inside learning how to have them relate to each other, learning by each other, because they're like spiritual aspects of ourselves that are way beyond our small self. And so it's like this consummation inside of us where we're not looking for anything else outside of ourselves. It's this divine union within, which then, you know, it ripples out everywhere. When we're learning, when we learn to become sovereign and autonomous and liberate ourselves from the patriarchy and the codependent ways of being and all of that, we literally, in just by our very essence, divinely married within, other people, that part of them or that longing in them or the part of them that wants to integrate, or we could just walk by and all of a sudden they feel more integrated. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but this is our very presence without even talking about it. And so I have this affects the web of life. So I have this passion about helping people, you know, really explore, first of all, the masculine and feminine energies and energetics and, you know, how, which way, you know, really looking at that within themselves, in their lives, practically, you know, how do we go about things? Are we in that place of receptivity? How do we feel about that? So it's a lot of journeying to the other realms around that, and a practice in these ways of it, kind of saying that the men tend to be, or the more masculine energetic is the Sun Lodge. It's the being able to go out and take action in the world and be out there is a more easeful thing for, say, men or people who are like really developed in that masculine side of themselves. And then there's the Moon Lodge, which is that intuitive feminine place, which we've been talking about, for all of us to learn, you know, more. Well, not everybody. Some people are so there, they can't even think about taking action in the world. So that's the balancing of the Sun Lodge for them. So I'll be looking, teaching people about this journey around balancing the Sun and the Moon Lodge in themselves, and especially for women, learning to come out more, lean into their fear of coming out and speaking our truth and being out there, because we're being called to come out more publicly. I mean, look at us. I mean, I never would have thought I would be doing this 5 years from now. Living in the middle of the woods of Scorpio, here I am, you know, talking to thousands. And then for men, learning, it's the learning about the Moon Lodge, you know, how to learn about that and bring that into our lives. And so it's going to be a really beautiful experience, and I'll be also using the cosmic, you know, teaching people about the cosmic medicine wheel, the universal medicine wheel, learning about the directions, what directions to turn to and call upon, and the attributes, and working with the elements. So it'll be a very experiential, earth-based, shamanic way of going around the medicine wheel of our lives with the intention of really marrying ourselves, you could say, creating that incredible, sacred, divine union within. So so that we learn to really cherish ourselves, you know. And so it's going to be very full, and I'm extremely excited about it. Starting with, for those who want to come, I'm having a retreat in Maine at the spring equinox, and I'm doing a live retreat on Mount Desert Island right next to Acadia National Park. And that will be like a doorway for people who want to come and be part of the live retreat. And then in October, mid-October, we'll start in the program, which is 9 months. And it's for men and women. And so if people are wanting to really claim their inner power and really explore what is this to be sovereign and autonomous and full unto ourselves, so that we are fully present and in the world, in relationships, and in our lives, then come talk to me.
Yes, wonderful. So yeah. Can people go to your website to learn more about that? Ben, is that the best place to go?
Yes, they can. If you go to the website, it will be group program. And I also, for anyone who gets my free gifts, which we'll talk about later, I'll send them an email that also has a link, you know, or telling them about that so they can go in and find out more about it.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, let's talk about your free gift too. Yeah. Would you like to share what you're giving as the free gift?
Yeah. So I have a rainbow light meditation that came to me. And it's, I lead you through it. It's a meditation where we're really working with and allowing the rainbow light, the ether lights of the rainbow, of all the different colors, to wash over and purify and clear our energy fields. It's very, very powerful. And so that is one of them. The rainbow light, that's another way that people can... I won't get into that. I could go so far with all of these different things. The rainbow light energy is extremely purifying and cleansing very quickly. And so that rainbow light meditation's there. You can listen to it anytime if you just want to have a rinsing and a washing over and purifying with the rainbow ethers. And then there's, I have a shamanic journey to the butterfly, which is all about transformation. And so I'm leading you in that. I talk about the butterfly medicine, and then drum and take people on a shamanic journey. And you get to ask questions and see where you are on your journey. Are you in the chrysalis? Are you in the just opening up? Are you in the flying place? And so the butterfly medicine and journey can be very telling in really helping us see where we are in our process around journey and about. And you can use it over and over again. You can go in anytime you want. And then there's the journey to the red tail hawk, which I have a very strong connection with, the messenger of spirit. And so I take you again, take them on a shamanic journey with drumming to find out what messages from spirit are coming in for them. And also to the red tail of the red tail hawk also helps them really look at issues around and messages around how to open our hearts. The red is like the heart and all that we've been talking about. So the red tail hawk journey can be very powerful. It can really help you clarify. You know, the hawks really help you clarify and get really focused. So those are my three free gifts, which I would love people to co-get. And the link is there on the page, right?
Yes, and so for everyone who's on live with us, I just put the description of your free gifts and the link in the chat here. And then for everyone who's watching this as a recording later on, just scroll down a little bit below the video and you'll see the link there. So yes, thank you for those beautiful, generous free gifts. We appreciate it. So I encourage everybody to go out and claim those right away. So let's open this up for the Q&A now and see what questions our audience has. So for everyone who's on live, you can raise your hand if you would like. Look for the hand icon, just tap on that, and we can bring you over by video, or if you want to turn off your video, you'll be audio only. Either way is fine. Or also you can put your question into the chat, and I'll read it, and we'll address it. So go ahead and raise your hand, submit your questions. And we do have, there's a couple questions in the chat that have come up as people were listening. So
I haven't been looking at the chat. I thought I'd let you do that. I didn't want to get distracted.
Yeah, I think
so. If anyone asks me anything specifically, I'm not looking at the chat.
Yes. So Cynthia is asking how to get out of ego systems and into eco systems. How to release, I think this is more the core of her question, how to release self-identification to a greater sense, to allow a greater sense of being in the intelligence of all life from a whole body sense. Can you talk about this evolutionary step?
Well, it's a big question.
It is a big question.
So what's the difference between ego and essence, right? What's the difference between, you know, being tapped into that greater intelligence? It's interesting because, you know, I'm gentle buffalo woman, so I work with the buffalo medicine a lot, and the buffalo really does help us tap into that greater intelligence. So I guess I would say, you know, one thing Cynthia could do is call in buffalo medicine, because they, first of all, help you stay very grounded. And the buffalo, you know, they have a very big head, and so in their medicine, they really will, they lean into, you know, wild winds and all of that, and they can stay very stable. And they're also very connected to divine intelligence and the transmission from a place greater than our own minds. So then, so that's one thing that comes to me. Also, you can work on or call upon the element air. So we're working with shamanic things. Call upon the element air to literally come and sweep through, because the mind is related. Well, there's many medicine wheels. The medicine wheel that I work with, the north is the place of the mind, and the element air is there. So we call in the element air to sweep through. You can literally see it sweeping through your mind and your whole body, but especially your mind and brain, to sweep out any old stories and conditionments and agitated thoughts that aren't really connected to the greater whole that we're talking about, this greater way, the way that we all want to be really embodied and opened up to the greater picture beyond our own small thoughts and minds and all of that. So the element air can be called upon. And just like, or you can go stand out in the air and invite and ask, say a prayer even, you know, I really want to, you know, move beyond myself. And it's not that we have limited thinking necessarily. It's just that our thinking in our, who we are as beings and bodies and people is naturally limited. I mean, what I'm hearing her wanting to open up to is the greatness of the flow of an even more expanded divine intelligence. So that's a great way to go about that. And then you can also, you could lie upon the earth. This is one of that, you know, the practice that I just talked about. You could go out there with the intention and ask Mother Earth, please, would you work with me to clear out any false identities that I might have? And also you can be journeying a way to find out what those are. It's like, what identities have been put upon us as a child? You know, you were this, you're a girl because you do this and this and this, and oh, your sister's good at art. There's a lot of ways that we can journal out all the ways that we look at who we are as our identity, and then question every single one of them. Is that true? And then we get to dismantle. So you can lie on the earth, you know, do that practice, then lie on the earth and just breathe and just be like, I am releasing and exhaling any identity and parts of me and any thoughts and any ways that I make sense of things or stories that I make up that keep me from being fully open to the breadth of life, you know, this expansive way of connecting to divine intelligence and all that there is. And that can be a very powerful practice. And then the earth, you know, just bringing in the earth's power and love back up into your heart and keep doing that and lie back. And you'll literally will feel like the layers of the parts of you who that are maybe more connected to an identity that's limiting or an identity that is just diminishing or whatever that is, or even an identity that's wonderful that could be expanded. That could be a very powerful practice for Cynthia.
Wonderful. Thank you for these suggestions. And I think that one of the most important pieces here is just to ask for help.
Yes.
We so often need a lot of help and then we just forget to ask. Right.
Yeah. And a lot of that comes down to, well, I should know this. I'm, you know, the ego, speaking of ego, the ego can also often the ego stops us because we feel foolish asking, you know, like I should know this. And they're going to think that, you know, whatever. That is the dismantling of the ego. Ask, 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 pray, open up and be like, I have no idea what I'm even asking or praying for, but I'm here. Guides come. And really that's leaning into the unknown and discomfort of not knowing, which is where a lot of the magic's coming from.
Yes. Yes. Like whatever I most need now, please send it away.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the revolution.
And Cynthia has put thank you and in the chat there. So I think that was helpful for her. Well, so if anybody else has any questions or if you want to raise your hand, go ahead and do that now. And I have a question for you, actually, Susan, that I've been wanting to ask. So you speak a lot about magic.
Yeah.
And I agree. Like, I think this magic, is, you know, that's around us all the time. It's so important to really tune into that, really access that. But could you speak a little more about that in particular? Like, what is magic, the way that you see it, and why is it so important for us?
Yeah. Also a big question. Love it.
Yes.
what's coming to me, you know, I'm always opening up to the spirits. What's coming to me is I'm sort of seeing this dragonfly go by. What's magical is when we stop and realize that these beings, I mean, the dragonfly is like one of the most ancient beings. I mean, this magical creature comes by, and the very nature of the colors on the wings of the dragonfly is a reflection of light. It's like not even blue or whatever the iridescent colors are. It's the way that light refracts off or reflects off the cellular structure in the wings. Now, to me, that is like magic. I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh. Or that a flower is opening out there in the yard in the richest pink softness, that if you really tap into it and journey into it and really be present in it, opens up like a space of magic. Like, you know, it really blows open any of our preconceived notions of, well, I know that that's called that, and this is a rose, and these are the petals, and this is the that. If we really tap into the essence of, how can we not be like moved by, oh my gosh, this is an exquisite, magical experience that we're having all the time. And so I feel like that doorway into magic is really opening our awareness and being willing to not know and being willing to be fully embodied and present. You know, be that divine union within that's going to stay there through anything, uncomfortable feelings, whatever that is. That allows us to be so present, Jocelyn, that, you know, we can look at a blade of grass and we're blown away by the exquisiteness of this experience that we have, where we can taste and smell and we take so for granted. I mean, it's just, I don't know, that's the word magical keeps coming. That's what I mean by it. It's this opening of our awareness to there's magic everywhere, exquisite magic everywhere.
Yeah, and I feel so strongly that living in that state of like awe, you know, taking in the miraculous nature of even a blade of grass, you know, that's how we're meant to be existing. That's how we're meant to experience this world.
Yes.
And we forget that, but we can so easily come back to it, you know?
Yes.
Super sure more about that. We do have a hand raised here. So Deborah, let me bring you over. Welcome, Deborah. Let me unmute you here. Okay, good. We can't see you, but we should be able to hear you now.
Okay, I don't know what to do about making myself visible.
You can have a pass for today if you want.
Okay, I'm doing something. Maybe it will work.
Okay.
Start video.
Nope, I'm not sure what it is I'm doing here.
I don't think I can, let me see. Hold on, let me try this.
Oh, I think I tried something.
Oh, good, okay, there we go.
I'm not sure, okay.
See you.
Oh, hi, Deborah, I see you. Hi.
Hi, hi. I'm not sure what my question is. I think I know what it is, but firstly, I just want to acknowledge your visibility and Jocelyn, yours as well, of course. And Jocelyn, you know, I'm struggling with that, becoming visible. I want to acknowledge that my many years on a shamanic path is what I think has opened me up to so many mystical experiences that have unfolded as a result. And so I encourage anyone who's considering taking your program to go ahead and do it, because I feel it's the path that, anyway, as I said, for me, it's really opened up so much for me. And it took many years of being on that path. And then I finally asked the grandmothers for my medicine name. And that, again, was a process that unfolded. And it ties into this fierceness of the mother that we're talking about. And I feel like I'm on a precipice right now, and that is the next phase, to find the fullness of my courage to step up and to become more visible and to share many of the beautiful sacred experiences. And the medicine name that was given to me is Warrior Woman of the Fire.
Wow.
And I was told that, you know, that was a name that I would continue to grow into. That was the fullness of who I am. And that fire, you know, burns away the dross. It burns away the untruths. And it is with a fierceness. Remember, that was one of the words that was shared in the story, the fierceness, but also with the balance of a gentleness and a softness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm still traversing my way through, in how to, you know, fully step into that and become more visible, and you know, share that you know, more widely. And I just would be grateful if you have any intuitive hits on that. I'd be appreciative.
Well, speaking of magic, I mean, I don't take anything as coincident. I mean, it's just like, oh, that just happened. The fact that you were saying, the first thing you said before you came on and I could see you, is I can't seem to figure out how to get visible here. My problem with my visibility. And that is exactly the issue that you're talking about. Isn't that amazing? And that you stepped up and you did get visible here is, I feel like you walked through a doorway right here. Here you are talking to us. It's pretty powerful. But I mean, it was like, okay, you said it was, and it was related to something else, but actually that was the magic of it all. For me, when you say the, and I really honor you in your name and sharing that with us, that's a big deal to have a medicine name and be sharing it. So for me, my work is all about that gentleness of the heart and the inner warrior fire. I mean, it's the inner warrior path, and that fire to me is like, I was seeing when you were talking, the heart fire, like feeding our heart fire, and that burns away anything around the softness of our hearts that is contracted or afraid to be in our vulnerability, which to me is the seat of our power. And so, you know, that you're naming, that you don't feel, you feel like you have to muster up the courage to really step into this longing in you, and also this calling in you to really embody you know, that warrior woman of the fire part of you, is so perfect, because to me it's like going into your heart, like really going deeply into your heart, which is what we're, I was talking about with this program that I'm doing, going deeply in there and fanning your heart flame that will then burn off anything that is keeping you from being able to be fully soft in your heart all the time. And I teach a lot of, that can be scary to people. You know, it's like, wow, I don't know if that vulnerability, I could be in the world in that. And I know that's what I'm learning, is to be that vulnerability and authenticity is our, is the true nature of who we are. And so in the shamanic work, as you know, we can conjure up, like I teach people to conjure up this sphere, this permeable sphere of light and love that filters out anything that might be detrimental or not generative for us as we're opening up that heart space and being willing. I mean, for me, this is really true to my heart, so to speak. My calling right now is to come out in the world in my vulnerability and softness as my power. And that, I mean, it's real easy for me to be the warrior and the this and that. So it's taken a lot of dismantling and unveiling myself. And I feel like that is being called of all of us as we're stepping into this fierceness of the mother, you know, tapping, you know, connecting with the earth, connecting with all parts of ourselves as a doorway and a pathway into cracking open to our fullness, which includes our open hearts to everything. Even things that don't make us feel very good or we really want to fight about, we can open our hearts. I mean, I can have lots of arguments with certain things that are going on right now, even politically, but I'm still staying open in my heart because I know that's what's required right now, to still be able to see through the essence of everything. And anyway, I honor your willingness to say, I want to be more vulnerable, and this is going to take a lot of courage, and I'm willing to do that. So, yay. We all need to hold hands together in that. Men and women.
Yeah, I agree with that. Men and women. And many years ago, it was my youngest son. He chose to do some ceremony in his rites of passage. And when he was 13, so I feel that it is about the masculine and the feminine, and the masculine and feminine that is within ourselves too, that finding that balance. And I think I just struggle with and Jocelyn knows this about me and things I've shared, just in terms of those vulnerable, very sacred, you know, experiences, how to express that and when to express that and who with, and, you know, expressing that on a more of a global platform like this, or, you know, many of the others. That's where I struggle, you know, in a one-on-one or in a small group of people in a very sacred, sacred manner. And that's why I shared this today. Yeah. Here, because this is sacred. This is absolutely sacred. It's a sacred, safe space. Everything that Jocelyn does is, you know, is that. So,
Deborah.
Yeah, thank you.
Deborah, I don't mean to interrupt you, but there's a visitor here that I think is here for you. So I have to try to show you all this. This is the most flamboyant little caterpillar. Can you see the tassels on this?
Yeah,
little thing. Hold on, let me put my shirt behind it. Well, anyway, it's a very fancy, like highly visible little caterpillar, and I just think this is a huge symbol for you. Climbed right up on me.
That's awesome. Thank you.
I have to share that. It's an amazing little caterpillar. But
I had one thing to say to Deborah. I feel like that whole thing of because we're talking about, you know, tapping into and really embodying the deep feminine knowing and the receptivity and all of that. When we're coming out to share those vulnerable things, we get to check in with ourselves first. We get to be like, wow. And we'll know on that. And, you know, is this the right time for me to share this? And if we get this intuitive, I feel it in my womb, you know, it's this intuitive, like, not yet. And it doesn't mean that it won't be ever, But we really learn to listen to the messages of us and trust that we know, trust our intuitive knowing. We go to speak and all of a sudden, no. And so I just want to share that with you, that really, it doesn't mean that we just blow it wide open and I'm going to share every vulnerable thing that ever happened in my life, though I'm doing it more and more, and boy, is it an edge. I'm also testing in, is this the right timing? And, you know, in asking my guides and asking my deep knowing first. So I just want to share that.
For sure. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great. Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well, Susan. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Blessings. Deborah, so good to see you. Thank you for being visible here with us.
Thank you, Jocelyn,
on your continued journey.
Thank you, Jocelyn. Thank you for making it so effortless, really. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You as well.
Beautiful. Okay, I think we have, we have another question from Cynthia. She's asking, is there a particular element or spirit animal or a plant, some being that can assist well with restoring innocent, gentle kindness?
Yes, the spirit deer. I work a lot with the spirit deer. They are... their medicine is all about gentleness. It's all about the heart. It's all about, you know, gentleness, love. And when we work with the spirit deer and call them in, they also love our inner children. They're like really attracted to the magical inner children, or I call it like our posse. You know, maybe you'll meet a baby at one point, a three-year-old. They're very drawn in the journey time, I find. And I journey to the south energy. Is really beautiful to call in to help us really tap into the energies of the heart and gentleness along with the spirit deer. So yeah, you could call in the deer. Whenever I call them in fact, I can feel it right now, just because we're mentioning this. There's this certain breath, this certain softness that comes around, and it just helps us. It's like their medicine helps us feel what it feels like to be soft, and then we become softer. And they're really powerful spirit animals to call in any of our inner child work, or when we're doing anything from the past that requires us to, you know, go into those deeper, more vulnerable places, especially if we've been feeling unworthy or self-critical and all of that. That is what I would call upon first. And then you could bring in some butterflies and other soft beings and the doves, but that's where I always start with people, is the spirit deer in the south.
Okay. Beautiful. I love how the animals are coming in. So that caterpillar, and then yes, the deer is with us now. And Merite said that at an earlier point, a lizard just passed by her window. And that was as you were talking about the need to go into the uncomfortable space, you know, that we have to dare to go there. So a little lizard walked past at that time. Do you have any thoughts on what that would symbolize?
Yeah, and the lizard is all about dreaming, the medicine of dreaming. And the lizard is, yeah, really, really connected to being able to be deeply grounded in the earth. I mean, you'll see a lizard will just lie there on a rock heated by the sun, so also connected to the sun. You know, the part that can withstand the power and the heat of the sun, and also just totally connected to the dreaming of the earth. So the lizards are a lot about that dreaming and going between, really tapping into our dreaming, our visions, and our visions coming from the dreaming of the earth. That's very much what a lot of the lizard medicine is about. And also it helps when we connect with the lizard medicine, also helps us slow down our nervous system. You know, anytime we're connecting with the turtle or the lizard or some of those animals that are really close to the earth, it's like our whole nervous system will settle down, and then we're really way more aware of, our awareness opens up in a bigger way that's separate from our identities, our small self, our own fears and all of that. So that's what's coming around the lizard. Also, the lizard is connected to this doorway, which is the fall equinox doorway for those of us in the Northern Hemisphere, which I will be journeying with the lizard at my retreat at the fall equinox in Maine. One of the animals of that doorway.
Oh, wonderful. And so also Helen is asking, what is the meaning or association with the crow? The crow. Mm-hmm.
Crows are super community oriented. And they also, they're really good listeners in that, like, you know, you may have heard this, but in some of the indigenous cultures, people with crow medicine were like the mediators. It's like the crow medicine is about being able to hear all of the points of view and not, you know, and not having an opinion or even a vote. So the crow, if we tap into crow medicine in that community orientation, we can really tap into the part of us that can really listen without our minds going or anything to each point of view and then weave it into something that is serving of the whole. So I've often said to people, like if they're going to a family gathering where the family trance sets in and, you know, there's this and that, call in the crow and be willing to be able to listen even to the people who trigger you the most. If you bring in the crow medicine, you'll be able to sit there even more quietly and actually listen to that person's point of view, even if you really don't agree with it on another level. It opens up our ability to walk in another person's shoes and listen in a wider way. And so, and then speak. So the crows are speaking back and forth to each other, then communicating that. They can also help us with our communication on what is being asked for us to communicate in the for the good of all, for the good of the family, for the good of the meeting or the whatever that is that we're part of. So it's a very community-oriented medicine.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Susan, for all that you have shared here. It's been just a pleasure to speak with you today and to learn. And thank you for all the practices you shared and the really practical tips, you know, that people can take and use right away. Really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And thank you to everybody who is attending live with us today. Thank you so much for adding your presence and your energy to our gathering here. And thank you also to those who are watching this as a recording. Hope you really enjoy it. And we do have two more live interviews today. The next one coming up will be at 3 p.m. New York time. And that will be with Susanna Darling Khan of Movement Medicine. So I hope you'll all join me then at this same Zoom link, 3 p.m. New York time today. So lots of love to everybody, and I will see you again a little later. And Susan, I just want to say thank you once again and hope you have a beautiful, wonderful day.
It's been my honor and pleasure. Nice to meet all of you. Go out and be wild and free.
Yes, I second that many times over.
fiercely wild and free and uncloaking and dismantling. Yes.
I love it. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Right. Many blessings to you, Susan.
Thank you. Bye.